Let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, please teach us through your word. Transform our thinking so that we may serve you and one another. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we begin to come out of lockdown and come together as a church family again, we need to make sure that we're thinking about church properly. Because we might have picked up some very unhealthy ways of thinking about church. As you watched the YouTube videos, you were not doing church. You were doing something of great value. You were coming to hear God's word, to engage in time of prayer, to sing God's praises, but you were not at church. Something vitally important was missing. And that was us. We were missing. Our bodies were not with one another. That's what church is. And that is a very dangerous thing indeed. Dangerous because in lockdown, we may have begun to think that church is about being served rather than serving. It's about professionals putting together a package to be received. It's about us providing a service for you. But it's not about that at all. Church is about serving one another with our bodies. And now that we're back, if we're honest with ourselves, it's different and it's worse than it was before, isn't it? In fact, in many ways, the service that was provided when we were in our homes was better. We were allowed to sing. We didn't have to get up and come and sit on uncomfortable pews. We could drink tea. We could chat. We could pause the guy if we weren't understanding him. It was, in many ways, a better experience. And coming back here, we can't sit where we want to sit. We can't sit on green stickers. And it's awkward because we're gathered together, but we're kind of not. We're socially distanced. And if we come to church in order to be served, then this is actually quite disappointing, isn't it? But I want to say to you, and this passage wants to say to you, that that is fundamentally unchristian in its thinking. It's understandable, and in many ways I'm preaching to myself, as much as I'm preaching to you, but it's fundamentally unchristian. And we need to listen to this passage because it's going to show us and encourage us to take a better path, a gospel path. So I have 3 points today, and they're there in your outline. The first of them is the most important of them, and it's that God serves us first before we serve him or one another. The second is that in response to God's mercy, we do serve God with our bodies. And the third is about serving the church with our bodies, by what we say and what we do. And the aim of this is that your minds are transformed so that you think properly about service, so that you can glorify God in your bodies and serve one another in response to the great gift of grace that you've received in the Lord Jesus. So, God serves us first. Chapter 1, verse 1, and that little phrase there, notice it there, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, etc. That is to say, God serves us before we serve him. God serves us first. Now, mercy, by its very nature, is something that is freely given by the one being merciful. It can't be demanded. It can't be earned. If it was, it would no longer be mercy. You can ask for mercy, but it's entirely up to the person that you're asking to show it to you or not. Mercy is about not getting what you deserve. It's about punching someone in the face and the merciful person not punching you back. And in Romans chapter 1, Paul argues that every one of us deserves death because we've rejected God in order to serve created things rather than the Creator. Our minds have become futile, and we use our bodies to serve sin rather than to serve God. And all of us deserve to die because of that. But in Romans 1 to 11, Paul explains the mercy of God, that he doesn't give us what we deserve. And really, I wish I was preaching on that, but I'm not. I'm preaching on chapter 12. But in 1 to 11, we find that we do nothing for God before God serves us. That God transforms our minds, gives us new lives in Christ so that we don't serve sin, but we serve God. And it's all God's mercy. And so if you've not received the mercy of God, if you don't understand the gospel, please don't listen to me and what I'm about to say in chapter 12. Spend this time reading chapters 1 to 11 of Romans. Because if you listen to me and think that you can serve God and please God with your bodies without first being served by God, you'll actually be thoroughly confused and misled. But I'm hoping that many of us have received God's mercy, and Romans 12 is for you. If you have received God's mercy, Romans 12 verse 1, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is our true and proper worship. Please notice there that it is about the body. Paul makes the same point in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where he says, "You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God with your bodies." This is the reversal of chapter 1. Because of God's mercy, we can now serve the Lord Jesus and God with our bodies rather than ourselves. And that is what we are to do. Notice in verse 1 that this is our proper worship of God. The word there, worship, is the word for service. Worship is not another word for singing. And this is not a place of worship, any more than Oporto is a place of worship. In fact, anywhere where your body is the place of worship, because you worship God in your bodies. Worship of God isn't about escaping from our bodies. It's an all-of-life offering to God. Just as Christ gave his body to the cross in order to save people and to do the will of his Father, we are to follow his example and give our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. People often talk about company time, working on company time. And what they mean by that is that you can't do whatever you want during that time, during work hours, because you've kind of been, your body and your services have been bought by the company or the business you work for. You can't just look at Facebook and watch Netflix with your time and with your body. And we tend to think that way kind of instinctively about work, but we don't think that way about God and the rest of our lives. But the Bible teaches us that we are on God's time, that God has bought our bodies. And we can no longer do what we want to do. We do what God wants to do. So verse 2, we don't conform to the pattern of this world, but we are transformed by the renewal of our minds. Then we'll be able to test what is the will of God and do what is pleasing to him. Notice as well that this service of God with our bodies is a matter of the mind. Because in order to serve someone, you need to know what they want. Worshipping God requires knowledge of God, knowledge of his will, knowledge of what pleases him. My wife loves T2 Melbourne breakfast tea. And she likes it strong, and she likes it with a lot of milk. I know that because I asked her what she likes, and that's what she likes. And so when I make her a cup of tea, I make her that tea. And that's what it is with God. You actually need to know what he likes in order to serve him properly. If I were to make my wife green tea, for example, she'd be pretty peeved. She thinks it's gross. Likewise, when my mum organised my 21st birthday party for me, against my will, and invited all of her friends and all of my friends and all of our family, extended family, I was not pleased with her at all because I'd asked for a small dinner with a few close friends and family. I would have actually been happier just to not have a party at all and to have received a handwritten letter with some nice thoughtful comments about how much she loves me, but... but do you see the point? You need to know the person if you're going to serve them and love them properly. Jesus warns his disciples about this in John chapter 16. When he spoke about the Jews of his day, he said this about them: they will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he's offering a service to God. And then he says they'll do these things because they have not known the Father or me. So knowing the Father is key. Having your mind transformed so that you know the will of God is necessary for you to serve him. That's why we read our Bibles. That's why we come to church. And the fact is, there are lots of Christians today who are sincere in wanting to please God, but are misguided about what God wants. And they end up approving things that God hates. They end up conforming to the pattern of this world rather than having their minds transformed. This has led to all sorts of problems in church history, but you don't have to go into the past to see this. Today there are plenty of churches, including Anglican churches, many of them in fact, who think that homosexual behaviour is fine, and who practice such things and approve of such things. And there are many churches today who are fuzzy on the clear distinction in the Bible between men and women. And they're confused about transgenderism on the one hand, or just deny that there's any difference and that gender matters at all on the other. There are lots of examples of this, but I'm focusing on these because they're focused on the body. Our culture is actually at war with their body, the way that God has made us as human beings. We've said, no, we're not going to accept our bodies. We're going to put our minds over our bodies and decide who we are and who we're going to be. I may be in a man's body, but no, I'm going to be a woman. But we have to be very clear that we worship God with our bodies. And God wants us to live in accordance with our bodies and to use our bodies to serve him. But in order to go against the grain of our culture and this wrong way of thinking, we need to actually read our Bibles and understand the will of God. So that's our second point. We serve God in our bodies, but we serve God according to knowledge. Otherwise, we'll just go with what the world says. Verses 1 and 2 are the basic response to God's mercy. That we offer our bodies to God, that we offer our minds to God. We don't do what the world wants us to do, we do what God wants us to do. But in verses 3 to 8, Paul moves from these foundational principles of Christian service to the particulars of what it means in the church, in the life of our church together. In our bodies, we are to serve the body of Christ. I want to say three quick things, or four quick things, actually, about these verses. Firstly, generally speaking, if you're not coming to church anymore because you think that online church was enough for you, you are wrong. And I want you back to church. We do not come to church in order to be served, but to serve. And you can't do that sitting on your couch in your living room. Watching a video of someone who is teaching from the Bible is not church. Because church is our bodies gathering together in a physical place where we use our bodies to serve God by serving one another. Church is not about you and God, it's about you and God and all of us as well. Secondly, as we come to church, if we're going to do it properly, we need to think about ourselves in light of the gospel. That's what verse 3 says. Not too highly of ourselves, but with sober judgment, according to the faith, the gospel that we've received. And that is to say, apart from the power and mercy of God, we cannot please God in our bodies. We're not going to serve without God's strength. There is no health within us, as the prayer book says. So we mustn't come to church thinking that we are God's gift, that we're awesome, and that if we didn't come, well, everything would go to pot. It's not true. God is the God of history. God builds his church. This is Christ's body, not ours. We come to serve because God has showed us mercy, and he gives us the strength as members of the body to serve the body. Thirdly, verse 4, we belong to one another. We serve one another because we belong to one another in a profound and fundamental way. Verse 4, for each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to the other. We are one, but we are many. And regardless of whether we are Australian, we belong to Christ. And so we belong to one another. That's why it is so wonderful to be back together in the body. This season of not meeting together has been like having our hands cut off. And although it's painful to sew your arms back on, and it takes a lot of time and effort, your arms belong on your body, and we belong to one another. We have obligations towards one another because of our connection to Christ. More than that, because we're in Christ and his Spirit's within us, when we gather together as God's people, we actually meet Christ and we serve Christ. For this is the body of Christ. Fourthly, we are many though. Verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. There's lots of different ways to serve. We all have different abilities and skills. But we are to use these gifts to serve one another. And notice in verse 6 that God has given gifts to each of us. All of us have gifts. We all have something to offer. There are three speech gifts here. prophecy, teaching, and encouragement. And we can all do this because we all have bodies with lips. We are to offer our lips to God. We are to come to church to speak God's word to one another, to teach one another, to encourage one another. And this is very important because, again, our world teaches us lots of lies. And if we're going to swim against the current of our world, we need to help one another with our lips and build one another up. We receive this gift by filling our minds with the knowledge of God and then figuring out ways to put that knowledge into words with our lips. We have the gift if we're doing that. It could be as simple as, after the service today, taking a moment just to share a verse that encouraged you this week, or sharing a story about how you stood for Christ at work. That would be greatly encouraging for our brothers and sisters. There are rosters to fill, of course, and we ought to fill them. But I'm not going to list the various ways that we can serve, because if we have an attitude and this change of heart that our bodies belong to God and to one another, well, the rosters will fill themselves, and beyond that, we'll use all of our time together to serve one another with our lips and with our lives. Notice, too, that there are a number of practical gifts listed there. There's serving, giving, leading, showing mercy. This is to be done generously, diligently, cheerfully. Serving one another isn't a chore. It's to be like God, and it's wonderful. And I think COVID provides us with a unique opportunity to please God in these ways at the moment. Many of us are hurting and would really benefit from practical help. And so I just urge you to take up this challenge with both hands, especially at this time. Okay, so I began by saying that doing church online while in lockdown may have reinforced some very dangerous and wrong ideas about church. And I hope you've seen that God's word presents us with a better way. In view of God's mercy, because he's freed us from slavery to sin, we are to offer our bodies to God. We are to serve one another. This involves our mind, because if we don't know what God wants, we won't do what God wants. This involves our bodies, giving our lips and our hands to one another. And this involves our hearts, doing this thoughtfully, generously, cheerfully, in response to the gospel. To put this passage into practice is to become like Paul, who begins this letter by describing himself as a servant of Christ Jesus and the gospel, who's desperate to come and visit the Romans in order to mutually encourage them and to help them in his body. It's to become like the Lord Jesus, who gave his body up to the cross to serve us. It has become like God, who, although we didn't deserve it, showed us mercy and saved us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, having received your mercy in Christ and having been received into your family, we pray now that you would transform and renew our minds. Fill our minds with the knowledge of your will, that we may please you as we use our bodies to serve one another. Please strengthen us to go in peace, to love and serve our Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.